Base car pulls away. An Ehrman White Chevrolet Super Sport convertible. At the wheel, three-time 500 winner, Maury Rose. He won the big one here in 1941, 47, and 48. Maury's now a Chevrolet engineer. Riding the pace car with him is Tony Holman, Speedway president. Other famous pace car drivers have included Barney Oldfield, Wilbur Shaw, Sam Hanks, Eddie Rickenbacker, Harry Scott, Tommy Milton, and Rob DePalma. This is the side in sports of the Philadelphia Eagles, for drama and suspense. The parade lap, followed by the pace lap, then the flying start of the 500. Thousands of screaming fans waving to the drivers as the car is trained to be unleashed and underway. 500 miles of straightaways and left turns lie ahead. And what else? Only the next 3.5 hours will tell it. During this parade lot, on my 20th anniversary as the voice of the 500, I thank you for your support of auto racing and of this broadcast over the years. And one car has not gotten away as yet. Ben, can you pick it up down there at John? It's the far end.
Yes, it is Graham Hill. He's having trouble starting his car. Of course, the crew is working furiously on it. The rest of the cars have pulled away. They're not getting that car started.
Graham Hill, who had much trouble getting in this race, defending champion, still has time to make it if they can get it going. They're backing it up.
Yes, they're moving it back to bring it into the pit row.
Well, the Alden is standing by down here. Gary Congdon.
I'm not seeing from there. I cannot see from here. I'm sure that he's getting ready.
Graham Hill, defending champion, being pushed into the pit area. So while we're getting these cars around this track, we'll see what happens on the 33rd entry. My mind races back over the last 2,500 I've been with you. Actually, 10,000 miles of memories in the past 2 decades. The glories and disappointments we've witnessed here. And flashing before my eyes right now are race cars with angel wings, and at the wheel, Wilbur Shaw, Billy Vukovich, Bobby Marksman, Jimmy Bryan, Bob Schweikert, Lee Waller, Tony Bettenhausen, Pat O'Connor, Jimmy Daywald, Chet Miller, the great ones, Eddie Sachs, Larson, Hoyt, Templeman, Hepburn, Mays, McDonald, Rohde. And my two wonderful broadcasters, Jack Shapiro and Bill Frost, who started out with me, both a big part of this race. And son Steve, and Bill Frost is in the number one turn today. There's magic in the name of every driver who ever tried to conquer Indianapolis, win or lose. And so I dedicate this anniversary broadcast to these men and to Tony Holman and Wilbur Shaw, who 20 years ago today gave me the chance to share it all with you. And now they're coming in through the number one turn for the pace lap. Pick it up, Mike Ahearn.
Sid, thank you. Here they come, the 33 fastest cars and drivers in Speedway history, all in good shape behind the pace car. The most breathtaking spectacle in sports. The first row is in the turn now. Mario Andretti facing Wally Dallenbach has some blue smoke coming out of the rear of his car. But the rest of the field's in good shape. The second row is through the turn. And now going into turn number two in Howdy Bell.
Yeah, we can pick them up, Mike. And each year this gets more exciting. The beautiful machine's moving halfway through the turn now. There goes the pace car. There's the first row going by, the second row, and the third. Let's look at the fourth row. George Snyder, Jim McElreath, and Bobby Grimm. Art Fowler. There's Mel Kenyon. And there's Wally Dallenbach of that smoke you mentioned. Then Jim Clark, Ronnie Newman, and Arnie Knepper. They're at the back stretch, and here's Doug Zink.
Hi, thank you, Howdy. The crowd on its feet, electricity racing through their bodies. They stand up, they shed their blankets they've been using against this sharp easterly breeze here this morning. They're about three quarters of the way up the back stretch in pretty good shape as they head toward turn number three and Ron Carroll.
All right, Doug, and the gleaming white pace car flashes by in the turn number three. In row seven, I can see now Johnny Rutherford as he cuts the wheel of his solid white racer alongside Cale Yarborough, Larry Dixon, and eight, Roger McCluskey, Carl Williams, and Denny Holm, and they go by me right now. Now the throngs of chilling but ecstatic fans scream final good luck cheers as they head into number four and Jim Shelton.
Hey, we are now close to the start of the greatest of all auto racing events. Here in the number four corner of the northwest turn, it's about a half to three-eighths of a mile from the starting line. Maury Rose driving the pace car at about 100 miles per hour. We're nearing that starting line, and now to describe his 20th consecutive Indianapolis Classic, here is the voice of the 500, Sid Collins.
Jim, we're watching Pat Vidan, and the pace car pulls off. The green flag is out, and the 500 is on. Into the turn, here's Mike Ahearn.
Mario Andretti to the lead, followed by Marley Jones and then George Dallenbach. Into the second turn, here's Howdy Bell.
There we see him. It's Mario Andretti.
front, about 120 yards. Second, number 74, Dan Cerny, body line turning, and into the first turn again, picking up Mike.
Thank you very much.
It's just like a Sunday drive for this Cornelly Jones. He's making it look mighty easy. He's away out in front. And now here's Ted Collins.
All right, Jim, Graham Hill is in the race. His car wouldn't start, but he joined the field in his regular spot as he came down the first grade lap. And there's the field going by with Cornelly Jones. Pulling him into the stop with about 180 yards in front now. Led will be back on the track once again after checking his plug. That prize money awarded this year at the rate of $150 per lap for the leader and $50 a lap for the second place car for the first time this year. We have a new record on the second lap, or 5 miles, set by Cornelly Jones in the STP Turbin, 158.186 miles an hour. And then number 67, Leroy Yarbrough, back out on the racetrack once again. The green flag is out. They're running smoothly on the sixth lap. Len, let's have your analysis of the start of this race.
Well, it was a good start after seeing the start last year. It was phenomenal. In watching the first turn, Cornelly from the outside was up into a good solid second position going into that first turn. And of course, moved out into the lead and is just pulling away. He's actually pulling away from the field. Everyone at this point is trying to see if they can get in the second spot. And now back to you, Ted.
All right, Len, let's acknowledge the fact that today we have the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Company, originating from Toronto, 130 stations with us. Bobby Elm and George Duffield, producers of CBC Sports, and Jim Shirley and John Marr, CBC Sports commentators, in their main studio in Toronto. Now to the number three turn, and Ron Carroll.
All right, Sid, and Bobby Graham, it's car number 39, is slowing way down. He may be into the pits by now. He really came by us slow. Back to you, Sid.
After 10 miles, unofficially, because of the yellow, we have the following standing. Cornelly Jones first at 147.414. That dropped the speed considerably. It was 158.186 after 5 miles. But they're back out and running once again. And to keep your charge up today, car 67, driven by Leroy Yarbrough, spun with the leader on the third lap. The spin was on the number four turn, which Jimmy Shelton reported for you. But the green light came back on promptly. Now back to John DeCamp.
Sid, Mario Andretti has just moved into second, and the first lap time unofficially for Cornelly Jones placed him at 153.8 miles an hour. That was Cornelly's time on the first lap.
Sid? All right, John, I have an unofficial report here of the speed of the first lap at 154.3, so one of our bits of information is confused, and we'll have to check it for you before those of you who are keeping charge put that down as gospel. We try to go for an authoritative approach here, and we didn't get it this first lap due to some confusion here. We'll have it for you in a moment. At the end of five laps, Jones' speed was 158.156. Time, 1:53.78. Another new record, surpassing the one set in 1965 by A.J. Foyt of 152.284. So at the end of five laps, 158.156. And I'll stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing.
Community Avenue 500
once again, alongside of Ray Panske, who's with the chief score and timer, Dick Power, with vital information for us.
Turning now to seventh and eighth lap, Cornelly Jones is going along at 162.7 and 163.7. A little range in there. Looks like you'll maintain that speed for quite a while, Sid.
See you soon. Ray, before you go away, I had a speed on the teletype here, 154.374 for the first lap, and another report over here of 153.583.
We'll get a check for you right away.
Would you thank you very much, sir. Appreciate that. Standing that four laps are 10 miles now have been handed me unofficially. Car number 40, Cornelly Jones, the driver. And Andretti comes in the pits now. Lou Palmer, perhaps you can pick it up. Call us when you get near him.
Has pulled to his
car
now in his pit area, Sid. Mario's still in the car, but he's asking them to check underneath the right rear suspension. We don't know what the problem is or what it may be, but they're talking it over very intensively. This isn't a fuel stop, of course, nor is it a tire change. This is something wrong with the gear immediately behind the cockpit next to Mario on the outside of the car. That is, this is on the rear right section of the car. It may be a suspension problem. We can't tell what adjustment were they making, but now there are three men over the wall and working intently over that right rear wheel. The USAC Observer is standing by, too, and it looks like they've got it done. And here comes Mario Andretti now, our national driving champion, back out on the race course and hoping to compete. Mario Andretti rejoins the field. Sid?
Thank you, Lou. Very fast reporting down there. And I have the correction now from Ray Paskew. The one speed we gave was right, the other was incorrect. The first lap was a new record, 154.374 miles per hour, set by Parnelli Jones. The second lap, 5 miles, 158.186. And now after 4 laps, or 10 miles, the standings once again. Time number 40, first. Parnelli Jones, number 74, Dan Gurney, second. Number 1, Mario Andretti, third. Number 4, Joey Leonard, fourth. Tie number 6, Bobby Unser, fifth. Number 2, Jim McElwee, sixth. Number 16, Art Pollard, a rookie driver, seventh. And number 26, George Snyder, is in eighth position at the end of 10 miles or 4 laps. Now to Ron Carroll in the third turn. Ronnie? Okay, Ron, back to Lou as Andretti comes to the pits again. Lou Palmer?
Yes, he's back in, and it's the same consultation, but they're not making that move to the right rear of the car this time. They're simply talking it over. Mario appears to be unbuckling and getting out. Mario Andretti stepping from the race car. Now, he hasn't retired from the field yet, but we'll soon know what's going on. They've pulled the front end of the car off. The entire shielding, the fiberglass body, has been lifted from it, and there's still more work to be done. Lance can probably make a better judgment on this than I can, but it does appear to be an adjustment that just isn't right, and Andretti is still suited up, helmet on, standing alongside, and making some very dramatic gestures toward the inner workings of the car. So beyond that, we can't make a judgment concerning it, except it still appears Mario would like to be back out there and racing and may yet be able to do it. We'll know in a matter of minutes. He can't take too much longer. Until then, we return it to you, Sid, in the tower.
All right, Lou, there's a black flag out there with a sign of the car number shown on it, and we'll be checking to see who they're black flagging on the racetrack as Trepidan holds it out. Instructions given here on the track by Chief Steward Harlan Finkler, who's in charge at all times. And now the blue passing flag with the orange stripe is being waved to pull a slower car over in toward the inner side. And number 39, now coming back out of the pit, Bobby Grimm, the Racing Associate Special. A lot of pitting here with his excessive speed in the first few moments of the race. And now welcome back to Donald Davidson from his Army tour. This is our boy who has a fantastic photographic memory of the story of the 500. He's been in the service for 6 months back with us. And, Don, what's your analysis and information you have on the start of this 500 this year?
Well, thank you, Sid. First of all, we had some excitement when Graham Hill, was the defending winner, almost didn't get away. And we had to check back and find that Bill Cummings, in 1936, had won the race two years previously. And in 1936, he was unable to get away from the starting line. In 1933, Louis Snyder, who had won the race 2 years previously, had to go out on the first lap, and Jimmy Bryan, who was the defending winner in 1959, was unable to get away from the starting line until after the race had started and was only able to complete one lap. Parnelli Jones, moving from sixth to lead at the end of the first lap, reminds us of Jim Laffman, who in 1952 started 10th.
Hold it, Donald. The yellow is out again. Where is it, boys? The yellow is out. Black flag was for Johnny Rutherford.
Yes, that black flag was for Johnny Rutherford. He was losing a lot of oil coming from the back of his car, and it's a very good chance that the track got extremely slick in one of these corners, and there has been a spin in two or three.
All right, Lamb, thank you. Now, Donald, if you crawl back in here again, we stop anything else for action on the racetrack.
Yeah, I was commenting on finally Jones moving from sixth to first at the end of the first lap. Jim Laffin in 1952 started 10th and was second into the first turn. For advances from back in the pack to leading will be in close to second.
All right, Don, thank you. We'll call you back a little bit later on. Out of the number 4 turn, here's Jim Shelton.
Sid, I think I can explain the yellow flag. We have raindrops up here, and they're pretty good size, too. So you might see something here coming in a few minutes. Back to you.
Well, that's the worst report I've had in 20 years. They're hopefully getting at least half this race over, so we'll have a full race. The yellow is out, and they might run under a very light tray here. These decisions, of course, all made by our officials from USAC down on the race course. And if at all possible, with this crowd in this event, they will continue running. But if there's any safety problem involved, that naturally will hold it back because these boys are concerned with safety first and foremost. We'll be back now in just a moment. Now stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing.